Recorded Books Incorporated presents an unabridged recording of Never Sniff a Gift Fish by Patrick F. McManus, narrated by Norman Dietz. This work is copyrighted 1979, 1980, 1981, 1982, and 1983 by Patrick F. McManus. This recording is copyrighted 1999 by Recorded Books Incorporated. And now, Never Sniff a Gift Fish.
Blowing Smoke. Many people think that my reputation as a great outdoorsman is a product of inherent athletic ability. Nothing could be further from the truth, which is that I've been cursed since birth with an extraordinary lack of coordination. For years, my fly casting technique was compared, rather banally, I might add, to an old lady fighting off a bee with a broom handle. My canoe paddling raised shouts of alarm among onlookers, who assumed I was trying to repel an assault by a North American cousin of the Loch Ness monster. My attempts to pitch the family tent terrorized entire campgrounds. As for marksmanship, any game I happened to bring into camp was routinely examined by my disbelieving companions for powder burns. "The man has stealth," they would say. "Who else could place the muzzle of a rifle to the head of a sleeping mule deer buck? Who else could still miss?" For years, I suffered the ridicule of my fellow sportsmen over what they perceived to be my ineptitude. Then, one day, I happened to recall a lovable old college administrator I had once served time under, Dr. Milburn Snodgrass. That casual recollection was to advance outdoor sports by 100 years. Doc Snodgrass had taken up pipe smoking as a young man and turned it into a highly successful career, eventually rising to the position of dean. Obviously, his success was not due merely to pipe smoking. No, he was also the master of 2 facial expressions, thoughtful and bemused. Those were the total ingredients of his success. The man was dumb. It's my considered opinion that if intelligence were crankcase oil, his wouldn't have wet the tip of the dipstick, let alone reached the add 1 quart mark. But he was an excellent dean. No matter what problem was brought before Doc Snodgrass, his response was to sit back and puff on his pipe, alternating between thoughtful and bemused expressions. The effect suggested that Doc was bemused by a problem so ridiculously simple and was giving thought to firing the nincompoop who dared bother him with it. The problem-bearer would laugh feebly to indicate it was all a little joke and then rush off to find the solution himself. People thought Snodgrass was a genius and often wondered what great ideas he was mulling over as he puffed his pipe and looked thoughtful and bemused. Eventually, I would learn the truth. Doc Snodgrass wasn't smart enough to mull. One example will serve to illustrate the effectiveness of the dean's approach to human relations. During a campus uprising, the students demanded that the college administration do away with poverty, war, and mashed turnips in the commissary, although not necessarily in that order. Doc Snodgrass appeared suddenly on the steps of the administration building, seemingly to confront the chanting mob, but more likely because he'd mistaken the exit for the door to the restroom. His thoughtful expression was probably due at first to his wondering why so many students of both sexes were in the men's room. As he fumbled about in his pockets, looking for his tobacco pouch, the search for the source of the Nile took scarcely longer. The students fell silent, no doubt saving their breath for the purpose of shouting down the words of wisdom they expected to be forthcoming from the dean. Youths are not called callow for nothing. The pouch at last found, the dean began to fill his pipe, tamping and filling, and all the while looking extremely thoughtful. Then he began probing his pockets for a match. Finally, an exasperated student in guerrilla attire lunged forward and thrust upon him a disposable lighter. Little realizing that